Today we have the privilege of studying Yeshaya Perek Samech Aleph, chapter 61. This chapter forms the Haftarah for Parshat Nitzavim. It's the last of the Shiva de Nechemta, the seven Haftarot of consolation, which we read in the weeks after Tisha B'Av. And the primary theme of this Haftarah is reassurance. Reassuring the Jewish people that God's promises are solid, that God will fulfill what he has said he will, that Jerusalem will regain a position of centrality in the world, will cease to be peripheral to the world, that the Jewish people will return to the land of Israel, and that Jerusalem will be secure. Those three issues, Jerusalem's centrality, the return of the Jewish people, and Jerusalem's security, are the three central ideas of the Haftarah, of this chapter, and they are presented within the context of reassuring the Jewish people that God will fulfill his promises. We now begin the line-by-line discussion, which will actually begin with the beginning of the Haftarah and the beginning of the idea, which is located two psukim before the beginning of the chapter, in chapter 61, verse 10. Perek Samech Aleph, Pasuk Yod. It begins with the word Sos Asis. And I'll also comment that besides using this Haftarah as the one chosen for Parshat Nitzavim, it is also used, or was used in many Jewish communities, as the Haftarah for every Chatan at his Ofrof before his wedding. This was the Haftarah for Chatanim in certain communities. Ashkenazi communities do not maintain this tradition. We have the Chatan read whatever the Haftarah of the week is. But it's, you'll see why this is the Haftarah chosen for Chatanim as we read. Perek Samech Aleph, Pasuk Yod, chapter 61, verse 10. Sos asis bashem, tagel nafshi belokai, ki hilbishani bigdei yesha, meil tzedaka ye'atani, ke chatan yechahen peher, vecha kala ta'de cheleha. So these words seem to be spoken by the city of Jerusalem itself, who declares itself to be trusting in God's promises. I will indeed rejoice in God. My soul will be happy in my God, for he has clothed me in clothes of salvation, a cloak of victory he has cloaked around me, he has robed around me. Like a bridegroom I will be yichahen. Yichahen here literally means I will be a kohen. It refers to the idea of cloaking a person in clothes which indicate they are about to serve a function. So like a bridegroom, I will be consecrated in chiefness, and like a bride, she will wear her ornaments. The idea that Jerusalem here is being cloaked in God by God with four different elements. First of all, the clothes of salvation, then the cloak of victory, then the clothes of a bridegroom, and then finally the clothes of a bride. So that Jerusalem is being made into a city which will be saved by God, which will display God's victory, and which will be the chief among the other cities of the world, just as a bridegroom and bride are chief at a wedding among all the other attendees. And this is Jerusalem speaking here. Jerusalem saying, I will rejoice in God. And then Pasuk Yud Aleph indicates Jerusalem's conviction and surety that God will indeed fulfill his promises. Ki ha'aretz totzi tzimcha, v'chagana zeru'eha tatzmiach, ken Hashem Elokim yatzmiach tzedaka utihila neged kol ha'goyim. Just as the land will give forth its plants, and just as a garden will give forth its seeds, so too will Hashem God cause victory and praise to sprout facing all the nations. Now this pasuk has to be understood as the continuation of the previous one. The previous pasuk spoke about Jerusalem as achieving a position of chiefness among the cities of the world, just as the bridegroom and bride chiefness among the at the wedding among the guests. They are the center of the wedding, so too Jerusalem will be the center of the world, and the other attendees at the wedding are compared to the other cities of the world implicitly. Pasuk Yud Aleph says this is surely going to happen. Just as the land gives forth its plants and the garden gives forth its seeds, in other words, just as surely as plants grow, so too will God cause victory and praise to spring forth for Yerushalayim. And the last three words are critical here, Neged Kol HaGoyim, opposing all the nations. In other words, all the nations will see that this is happening. And despite the fact that it seems so very unlikely that Jerusalem would be a chief city in the world at this point in time, because Jerusalem really is peripheral to the world because of the geopolitical situation, nevertheless, this will surely happen, the Navi says. And this is the people, again, the people of Jerusalem expressing, or the Jerusalem itself personified, expressing their confidence that God will fulfill his promises. And that Jerusalem will achieve that position of chiefness caused by God's tzedakah, his victory, and tehillah, the reputation that God will cause to emerge for Jerusalem, facing all the nations. One could also understand tehillah here, perhaps, from the Shon Hillah, an aura of light, referring back to the imagery in chapter 60, where Jerusalem is said to be cloaked in a special light, which indicates God's having chosen it. Continuing now with chapter 62, the first pasuk, and here we revert to God's speech. Lema'an Tzion lo echeshe, ulema'an Yerushalayim lo eshkot, ad yetzeh chanoga tzidkah vishuatah kilapid yivar. For the sake of Zion I will not be silent, for the sake of Jerusalem I will not be quiet, until its shine goes forth like victory, until its victory goes forth like a shine, and its salvation burns like a torch. So here again, the imagery of light is being used here as a metaphor, or more accurately as a simile here, where Jerusalem's victory and its salvation, the vindication of Jerusalem as the chief city of the world, will be as apparent to all as the light of a torch, and as luminosity is to those who surround it. And so God declares that he will not be silent, he will act for the sake of Yerushalayim, quoting Rashi, Lema'an Tzion e'aseh, velo echasheh al ma she'asu la, for the sake of Zion I will act, and I will not be silent for what they have done to Jerusalem. In other words, God will react to the nations of the world, will both act and react to what the nations of the world have done to Jerusalem, and continue in this course until Jerusalem's vindication shines forth like something luminous, and its salvation is as apparent as a torch. And as a result of that, pasuk bet, v'ra'u goyim tzidkech v'chol melachim kvodech v'korah lach shem chadash asher pi Hashem yikovenu. All the nations will see your vindication, all the kings will see your glory, and they shall call you a new name, which the mouth of God will designate. Now, the idea that Jerusalem will achieve a new identity here, the name, of course, indicates the identity, because all the nations of the world see Jerusalem achieving a position of centrality in the world, see that Jerusalem has been vindicated from its travails, see that Jerusalem is honored. Therefore, the nations of the world will give Jerusalem a new name and indicate it that it has a new status. What will be this new status? Pasuk Gimel. V'hayit ateret tif'eret biyad Hashem utzenif melucha b'chaf elokayich. You shall be a crown of chiefness in the hand of God and a diadem of kingship in the hand of your God. So the idea here again that Jerusalem is kivyachol being crowned by God. It's the image of coronation. When the crown is placed upon the king's head, Jerusalem will be the chief city of the world. And that chiefness is being achieved by God placing the crown upon Jerusalem's head. And that will be the new name, the new identity that the nations of the world will accord to Jerusalem, a new name whose content is determined by divine action. So it is God who will make Jerusalem achieve this position of chiefness in the world. We move now away from the idea of chiefness to the second key idea of this chapter, the idea of the return of the exiles to Jerusalem. That idea is expressed in Psukim 4 and 5. Lo ye'amer lach od azuva, ula'artzech lo ye'amer od shemama, ki lach yikare chefziva, ula'artzech be'ula, ki chafetz Hashem bach, ve'artzech tiba'el. Now here we continue with the idea of Jerusalem's new identity, but again moving to the idea of the return of exiles away from the idea of Jerusalem's chiefness. Your land will no longer be, you will no longer be called, or it will no longer be said to you, abandoned one. And your land will be no longer said about your land, desolate. For rather you shall be called, my desire is in it. And your land shall be called, espoused. For God desires you, and your land will be espoused. Now here the prophet is using a series of group of images. The image of Jerusalem as the city of Jerusalem, the land of Israel as abandoned is clear. This refers to the period of the exile. But now Jerusalem is going to be called the one whom God's desire is. In other words, God desires Jerusalem. The idea here of desire is connected, the idea of a physical relationship between a man and a woman. And your land will be espoused. Who is doing the espousing? Note that the Pasuk carefully does not say that God is doing the espousing here. Rather, it is the Jewish people who is, kivyachol, entering into a marital relation with the land of Israel and is going to transform the land of Israel through return to the land and a physical relationship with it. And so it is that here God says, I desire the land, and the physical demonstration of that is that God, is that the Jewish people return to the land of Israel. That is expressed even more clearly in Pasuk 5, which is also part of the bridegroom imagery here, connecting it to earlier in the Haftarah. Pasuk 5, Ki yiv'al bachor betula, yiv'aluch banaich, u'mesos chatan al kala, yasis alaich elokaich. Just as a young man has relations with a unmarried woman, so too will your sons have relations with you, and the rejoicing of a bridegroom on a bride, God will rejoice upon you. So the idea of, again, the distinction between the Jewish people who are actually doing the physical act of marriage with the land of Israel, the Jewish people are returning to the land, plowing it, working it, causing it to give forth fruit, but it is God who is rejoicing upon the land at the same time as the Jewish people are returning. So these two psukim use the image of marriage to describe the Jewish people's return to the land and their physically settling it. Now we move to the theme of security. Pasuk Vav. Al chomotayich Yerushalayim hifkadeti shomrim, kol hayom v'chol halayla tamid lo yechashu, hamazkirim et Hashem al domi lachem. Upon your gate and upon your walls, O Jerusalem, I have placed guards all day and all night, always they will not be silent. Now, that's a slightly strange image. God places guards upon the walls of Jerusalem, that's understandable. But why do guards need to be silent? One would expect that guards would be silent and wait for attackers. What are these guards doing? These guards are hamazkirim et Hashem. These guards are mentioning God. Be not silent, O guards. And the idea of the guards mentioning God indicates that it is divine security rather than human security that is assuring Jerusalem's future. The last three words, al domi lachem, have no silence for you. It's a sort of a command, a negation of without a verb. Let you not have any silence. That the guards should continuously mention God's name. Continuing Pasuk 7, Zayin, V'al titunu domi lo, ad yichonen v'ad yasim et Yerushalayim tehila ba'aretz. Do not give silence to him until he places and establishes Jerusalem as the praised one in the land. And this reinforces the idea expressed in the previous Pasuk. As the Radak here indicates, כי כמו שהמדבר לחברו מתעסק בדברו זמן התמדת דיבורו, כן מזקיק את חברו להיות מאזין לו, שייתן ליבו לכל דבריו בלא דומי ובלא הפסק. So the idea here is that it is one guard reinforcing the other, and the guards are not just ensuring Jerusalem's security by means of their mentioning God's name, but they are actually encouraging God to continue his acts for the sake of Jerusalem. So do not give silence to him, one guard saying to another, do not give silence to him, until he establishes, until he places Jerusalem as the chief city in the world, or the chief city in the land at the very least. Now that issue of Jerusalem as the chief city in the land was perhaps obvious to us, but certainly not obvious in the time of the return to Zion under Ezra and Nehemiah, when the chief city in the land of Israel was in fact Shechem. And Jerusalem was a very, very poor city, and it was only in later on, during the time of the Hashmonaim, and even later, that Jerusalem really became a central city in Eretz Israel. Of course, it had its religious significance, but that was not paralleled by any political or economic or demographic stature. So here Jerusalem is becoming the central city, and not only is it becoming the central city, but it is protected by God's actions, and the people are saying, the guards whom God has appointed on the land, on the city, are saying, don't let God, don't be silent, don't stop your mention of God's name until God establishes Jerusalem as the chief city in the land, as the praised one in the land. Now, Pasuk Chet, we return to the idea of divine reassurance, which this concludes this section with a divine oath. Nishba Hashem bimino uvizroa uzo, im eten et deganech od ma'achal le'oivaych, v'im yishtu v'nei nechar tiroshech asher yagat bo. God swears by his right hand and by the arm of his power, that I will not give your grain anymore as food for your enemies, nor will the foreigners drink the wine that you have worked so hard to produce. So the idea that you will no longer have to give your grain and your wine as tribute to enemies. Rather, what will happen to this grain and this wine? Pasuk Tet, ki me'asvav yochluhu vihilalu et Hashem u'mekabetzav yishtuhu b'chatzrot kodshi. Rather, those who gather the grain will eat it and praise God. In other words, those who work in the fields will be able to benefit from their work. Rather than having to give their produce as tribute to a foreigner, they will actually benefit from their own intake. U'me'akabtzav yishtuhu b'chatzrot kodshi. Those who gather the grapes will drink the wine in the holy precincts of God. And this concludes the theme of reassurance and promise, which God indicates throughout the beginning of this Haftarah. Now we move now to a new theme, which really is more directly connected to the continuation, Perek Samach Gimel, but the Christian division has included it within Perek Samach Bet, and so I will mention it now, although I'll go over it again tomorrow. Ivru Ivru Bashe'arim, Panu Derech Ha'am, Solu Solu Hamesila, Sakelu Me'even, Harimu Nes Al Ha'amim. So pass through the gates, clear way for the people, raise up the highway, remove stones from it, pick up a flag upon the nations. Hine Hashem Hishmiya El Katze Ha'aretz, Imru Levat Zion Hine Ish Echba, Hine Scharo Ito Ufu'ulato Lefanav. Behold, God has arrived. Behold, God has caused to be heard to the ends of the earth, saying to the daughter of Zion, behold, your salvation is coming. Behold, his reward is with him, and his payment is before him. V'kar'u lahem am ha-kodesh ge'ulei Hashem, and they will be called the holy people, the redeemer ones of God, and you shall be called v'lach yikare d'rusha ir lo ne'ezava, and you shall be called the desired one, a city which is not abandoned. This idea of not abandoning Jerusalem ties into the theme of our Haftarah, but the idea of someone arriving connects to the continuation of this Perek, continuation of this theme in Perek Samach Gimel, which we will discuss tomorrow. to review the main body of what we looked at today, from chapter 61, verse 10, until chapter 62, verse 9, God's reassurance to Zion, beginning with Yerushalayim's statement to God that I am rejoicing, through a series of acts of divine reassurance, concluding with a divine oath. The three main themes are, first of all, Jerusalem's centrality, then the return of the Jewish people to the land, and then the security that God promises Jerusalem.